My guest at this time is former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He is now with the American Enterprise Institute. We want to get his thoughts on some of the growing and thorny issues arising from the Middle East, including the rise of ISIS in Iraq and the future there, as well as the latest flare-up between Israel and Hamas, and even some new developments potentially with respect to Syria. And Mr. Ambassador, thanks so much for being with us.
Glad to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, the latest headline, of course, from the Middle East is the discovery of the murdered three Israeli teenagers. It is believed Hamas is responsible, though they haven't taken responsibility for it. There has been the beginning of a response here now from the Israelis in Gaza. What is the appropriate response here, and what does this tell us about the state of affairs in the Middle East right there?
Well, it's obviously a very tragic development that the three teenagers were murdered. I think not only the Israelis, but U.S. intelligence believes that Hamas was at a minimum involved and almost certainly responsible. And it really brings into focus this endless cycle of terrorist attacks that Israel is subjected to from Hamas, among others. I think that justifies a very, very strong response from Israel. You know, we all probably look at this as a crime, if it would be if it were committed in the United States. But the fact is, this act of terrorism is part of Hamas's ongoing war against Israel. They still reject the idea that there should be a state called Israel. They want to eliminate the Jewish state entirely. And while this is not a conventional military war, it's an asymmetric struggle, the way the terrorists conduct their affairs. So I think Israel is entitled to treat it as an act of war and to respond accordingly. And once you see that logic, it certainly doesn't have to be a proportional response. I think it can be anything up to and including destroying Hamas, just as we responded to the attack on Pearl Harbor as an act of war and behaved accordingly. I think Israel can do the same. Now, let me say quickly, I don't know what they're going to do, but my impression from the political environment in Israel is that the response could be quite strong.
Mr. Ambassador, one of the things that we know, of course, is that this happened in the wake of the reunification, for lack of a better term, between Fatah and Hamas, which, of course, had broken apart in their own little civil war there a number of years ago. Now we're at the point where the United States, through our foreign aid, is funding a Palestinian Authority that includes a recognized terrorist organization in Hamas. The State Department still has them on their list. And that's leading a lot of people, from Senator Paul to other activists concerned about the state of Israel, to say now's the time to cut off aid. Is that the right call, and what's the impact if we do that?
No, I think it is the right call. I think Fatah itself has very little legitimacy, and when they team up with Hamas, I think it's a statement that they would prefer to be making agreements with a terrorist group than making agreements with Israel. I think the whole idea of the two-party state has collapsed. Sadly, there are no Palestinian institutions, certainly not Hamas or Fatah, that have any legitimacy, any democratic legitimacy, or any capability of making the hard compromises that have to be made to advance the idea of settlement with Israel. Or even if they did make the commitments, they wouldn't carry them out in the years ahead. So I think that the United States has to indicate this charade is coming to an end, and the whole thing is a tragedy for Israel and really a tragedy for the Palestinian people, who have been used as pawns in this struggle by radicals in the Arab world for a long, long time.
We're talking with former U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He's now with the American Enterprise Institute. And sir, of course, the other major issue in recent weeks in that region has been the destabilization of Iraq and the ISIS being on the warpath there and encroaching on Baghdad. From what we understand, this is not your typical ragtag terrorist army. This is well-funded. They're well-educated. They're providing basic services in some of these cities, although their ideology is obviously very troubling to anyone interested in stability and civility in the region. So given what the president has decided to do to this point, what do you make of his steps, and what do you think else would need to be done to check them?
Well, you know, sadly, we got to this point because of the president's decision to withdraw all American forces. We had leverage and capability to help keep the diverging Iraqi factions together. They didn't have any experience in self-government in their history, and certainly not under the Ba'ath Party dictatorship of Saddam Hussein. And the notion that we could leave and not see these kinds of consequences, I think, was big mistakes that was inherent in Obama's policy of getting out. And so as a result, we're seeing all the sacrifice that we made over the past almost 15 years now disappearing. I think our options are very limited. Obviously, ISIS is a threat, but there is no reason to do anything that strengthens the hand of Iran or the al-Maliki regime, which is in effect a puppet of the Ayatollahs in Tehran inside Iraq. I think we've got to look to our interest. I think making sure Jordan is not further destabilized, working with the Arab monarchies on the Arabian Peninsula. They're responsible for funding ISIS. It's sort of the sorcerer's apprentice that's gotten out of their control, and we need to look at what to do there, but not through cooperation with the present Iraqi government or Iran, that's for sure.
This caliphate that ISIS claims to have established now crossing the border between Syria into Iraq, is this basically the new generation's Afghanistan, where they would have free range to launch terrorist operations out of there? What are ways we could potentially limit those options, if any?
Well, you know, if they were able to establish a stable control over that area, as when Taliban and al-Qaeda were running Afghanistan, it very much could be a base for terrorist operations. We've had reports there are lots of Americans and Europeans fighting with ISIS who could well come back to Europe or the United States. So I don't think we can be sitting idly. On the other hand, there are also a lot of Sunni Arabs that are fighting with ISIS now because of their opposition to the al-Maliki government. They are not radicals like ISIS is. They were our allies in Iraq up until a couple of years ago when we withdrew our forces. So it's just an indication of how complicated things are. There's no doubt, though, that we should not allow ISIS a moment's peace if it means the risk that they would use whatever stability they were able to create to mount terrorist operations. No question about that.
It obviously neither would be a good situation for the United States, but with ISIS potentially gobbling up a lot more ground if not checked, but the checking likely coming from the Iranians in some capacity, which is the greater threat if one of them gets some sort of dominance over that region?
Well, this is the kind of conflict that recalls Henry Kissinger's famous remark, it's too bad both sides can't lose. And as bad as ISIS is, never forget that Iran remains the principal enemy. It already has nuclear weapons. And it's the world's central banker of international terrorism, fully capable of giving a nuclear device to a terrorist group. So Iran remains the central threat, but it's not in any way to diminish the potential that that ISIS has. We're just in a situation where two powerful groups are in play, and neither one of them is a friend of the United States.
Kind of lost in the shuffle over the past few days is President Obama's desire to spend about $500 million training and equipping what he calls the moderate rebels in Syria, although depending on who you ask, it get a different answer on who's the moderates there. What do you make of that effort, that gesture from the president, and can we identify the moderates, and would it do any good if we can?
Well, it's purely a political gesture by the president. He doesn't have any strategy in mind at all here. And I think what we saw ISIS do when the Iraqi army collapsed in Mosul and Tikrit and other important Iraqi cities that allowed ISIS simply to scoop up all of their weapons, a considerable amount of finance. You can put weapons in the hands of so-called moderates, assuming we could agree, as you point out, on what the definition of moderates is. But we could give them weapons, but there's no way we can ensure that they're going to be able to hold on to those weapons. So I've never been in favor of that approach. I think that's the wrong way to do it. And I think that we're now seeing the consequences of 3 years, basically, of not thinking through a strategy of how to deal with these multiple threats to the United States. And I think it comes down at base to one thing, and that's the president's unwillingness to confront Iran over its nuclear weapons program, because he's so eager for a diplomatic deal that he's allowed Iran to support al-Maliki, to prop up the Assad regime in Syria, to continue to fund and arm Hezbollah and Hamas, and that's where we get a lot of this trouble.
One final addendum, sir. You've obviously studied the Middle East a very long time. There's a lot of big issues exploding all at the same time. In your years of studying this, how concerned are you about the current state of the Middle East?
Well, it's worse than at any time, I think, since before the 1967 war between Israel and the Arabs. In each of the countries, and we haven't talked about Libya or Egypt or Yemen or other states that are just dissolving in front of us, you could see this series of crises merge into the entire region, really spinning into anarchy. I'm extremely concerned about it. I'm concerned about American interest. I'm concerned about our friends like Israel and the oil-producing monarchies of the Arabian Peninsula. It's a very dangerous time. And honestly, it's not just that the president doesn't have a policy to deal with it. He's not paying attention to it.
Sir, we'll leave it there. Thank you very much for being with us, as always.
Glad to be with you.
A former U.S. ambassador to the United Nations, John Bolton. He's now at the American Enterprise Institute. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WND.com.